How are you guys doing? Hey, today's episode was sponsored by MindBloom. We have a few things to go over. Actually, you know what? Who has some big major talking points is going to be Willie. Yes, Willie is still with us. He's wearing a fantastic looking shirt and a beautiful beard.
Yeah, this is my go-to shirt. If you watch my YouTube, at least 80% of my videos are wearing this shirt.
Good. It looks like it's clean at least.
It's clean, but it's a bit sunburnt.
It matches your beard. Yeah, well, exactly. So what's the deal? What do you want to talk about today?
Well, the British became very popular on the internet, then unpopular, then popular again.
Okay,
amongst the Ukrainian crowds,
kind of like the Germans.
Well, yeah, but now they're popular again. The Germans are still not. Well, that's not giving the tanks. If they give the tanks, people will love them on the internet. Well, they're pro-Ukrainian side of the internet, which I don't know what the percentage of that is, but majority, I guess. But it got sort of leaked, but incorrectly leaked, that they were going to give Apache attack helicopters to Ukraine. When I saw this, I was like, wait, what? Like, that's a big deal. And then it just went viral as, and they had to turn back, like, no, we're never going to give those helicopters. Like, they were never on the cards. Like, someone just released this incorrectly. But, of course, it had already been shared everywhere, all the news sites, all the podcasts, we picked it up. So there was a bit of a lull. But then, after this whole debacle we've spoken about in the last couple of episodes about the Leopard 2 tanks and the Abrams, Britain has come out and just skirted around the whole thing and goes, we'll give you 14 Challenger 2 tanks, British tanks, which is a big deal. Like a Challenger 2, you know, is built in the equivalent era of an M1A1 Abrams. It's a very, almost like different roles. Like they're still main battle tanks, but the Challenger 2 more sits as an infantry support tank, but you know, people would claim that it is a better main battle tank than an Abrams, depending which side of the ocean I guess you're on. But these are a big deal, and it is the first, you know, heavy main battle tanks that we've actually seen being released into Ukraine. And apparently the crews are already outside of Ukraine training on these tanks. These tanks, they're a monster. We spoke about the miles per gallon last time, and you know, these tanks are, it's like 70-something tons. They're big boys. But, again, fuel usage, massive. Miles per gallon off-road is 0.4, like 0.4. On-road's 0.7. So they're, you know, chewing fuel. What comes into your logistics massively with these? But, as well, you know, these still use the same NATO ammunition as the Leopard 2s. So if the Leopard 2s, if and when they come in, you know, they'll at least the ammunition type, you're not looking at different variants. But these tanks, these are, you know, battle-worthy, battle-hardened tanks. There's actually never been a Challenger 2 lost in combat, at least to enemy. There's only been the only one Challenger 2 tank that's ever been killed? It's in 2003 in Basra. It was Challenger 2 had a blue-on-blue incident and thought it was an enemy tank flanking them. And another Challenger 2 lit them up. And sadly, in that incident, you know, the tank was killed, and you know, two of the four crew sadly died. But I guess that proves the combat worth of these vehicles. Was yeah, it took another equivalent main battle tank to take it out, and even then, not all the crew died, like you would see in a vehicle with an autoloader. If that hull's breached, everyone's smoked. As well as, you know, these tanks hold the longest ever kill for a tank at 4,700 meters, which is like 2.5 miles, and there's a lot to say about these, and delivering 14 of them into Ukraine. And that was, I think, the story that trended better in the media. But I think the bigger part of this was in the same announcement of the 14 tanks, they're actually releasing 30 new SPGs, so self-propelled gun artillery systems, into Ukraine as well from the UK in this same arms package, which from some of the Russian sources that I was reading is a lot more of a concern than the tanks, is the artillery. Especially with, like, people like love to bang on about, oh, this weapon, that weapon of the West. Something you don't hear about too much is the Excalibur 155 or 155mm artillery round. So it's a guided artillery round. And these rounds have apparently been making a massive splash. You know, there's probably a pun in that somewhere.
I was just saying a figure.
But probably a massive splash, you know, on the front line. And this is actually more feared than a lot of those vehicles coming in. And, you know, it's American NATO ammunition, so it's going to be bloody everywhere. It can go in these vehicles. And this is a big deal because there's 30 of these. And a lot of people, to the untrained eye, these AS-90 self-propelled guns or wheeled guns, whatever you want to call them, that people would probably look at them and call them a tank, but they're not. But they're a devastating effect. Those artillery pieces, they're devastating. So that's really the big stuff with that is the tanks, the new guns, and
so no helicopters,
no choppers,
none,
no helicopters. But like at the end of the day, to deliver Apaches, you're not just training a few people. You like it's not even a similar platform to anything Ukraine has.
They'd have to have like the fuel supply,
but the mechanics. It's not like the pilots. I'm not a tanky, but like at the end of the day, if you can drive one tank, you're probably used to driving us. It's like you can drive one truck, you drive another truck. It'd be different. Things would be different, but you're still driving a heavy armored tracked vehicle. But helicopters, that's going to be a completely. It's why America has not supplied F-16 aircraft to Ukraine. Whereas initially it was we don't believe that we can actually train these guys in the amount of time, which I guess buys into, well, the Americans didn't think that Ukraine was probably going to actually last this long. Because the silly thing of it was, oh, it's going to take us 1 year, 18 months to train these guys to any standard. Like, we're not going to bother doing it. Well, if you did bother doing it, by now you'd have F-16s in the sky.
Well, the Ukrainians actually just got into Oklahoma.
Yeah,
for the Patriots.
Yeah, oh, for the Patriot systems, yeah.
They just got in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And they're doing that whole, I don't know how long, I would assume they're at least going to give them a couple of weeks of training.
I've heard that the Patriots are incredibly complex to use. But yeah, I've seen that as well, that just in Oklahoma, the Ukrainians have Patriot air defense, which is a very high-end air defense system. And we know that it's good because we've seen it work. Where, you know, we've seen on both Russia and Ukraine that the S-300s and particularly the S-400s are not as good air defense systems as we thought. Not that they're a proven air defense system. You know, they do work. They are deadly. They are dangerous. Are they unbeatable? Obviously not, because we've seen things absolutely slip through the Ukrainian air defense of the S-300s. And those airfields where, you know, the nuclear bombers are held for Russia, they're surrounded by S-3 and S-400 systems.
I don't know how that even happened.
And there was a 1970s era drones get through those systems. That's the bigger concern. If I was the Russians, I'd be going, hey, I don't care that one of their planes got blown up. They've flown something that is not stealth. It's not going to be ground-based. You know, they've flown something 1,000 kilometers, 600 miles, through multiple layers of air defense, not just one or two. They've gone through multiple layers, and it's hit something. That's a big deal. Like that airfield base would be, even then, like an older vehicle like that, modern systems, for it to leak through, and I know some of them say, well, that it hit it and, you know, the remnants hit the plane. It doesn't matter. It was allowed to fly 1,000 kilometers and then taken down. It's a big problem.
It's not my problem, but it is their problem, which I don't know. I'm
but
glad
both
I don't
sides a big problem too, because Ukraine's still dealing massively with these drones and these missiles coming in and hitting, like we saw hitting apartment blocks. And you know, of course, there's always rumors of, oh no, what hit the apartment block was a Ukrainian air defense missile, or what hit the apartment block was out of control Russian missile because the Ukrainian air defense hit them. It doesn't matter. Like at the end of the day, even if that rumor speculation's true, it doesn't matter because, well, it's so stupid to say, because you're like, well, if that missile was never in the air coming towards this way anyway, it wouldn't have happened. So it's a really stupid point. What are you going to do, not shoot down the missile? Like it's just it's ridiculous, just speculation from people. And even if there's factually correct, if you look anything further into it, it's like, well, why are there cruise missiles cruising over a city to begin with? So it's crazy. But the Patriots, the biggest problem with the Patriots, and I know this is part of it, is money. Patriots are
expensive.
You know, I believe it's $3-5 million a rocket.
That's what I was going to look up because I don't remember how much it was.
You're well in the millions, and a Shahid drone's $20,000.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. And I'm not sure. I know a Patriot, you know, well, say an S-400 system, which I'm more familiar with from my research. I believe an S-400 can track like 500 targets at once. That's all good to track those, but you're only going to have a certain amount of rockets. So you might have, you know, in a battery, you might have 8 or 10 or 12. It's still not that many. And I think what the Russian tactic will become is to overwhelm these systems. You know, the Patriots might track hundreds of targets, but if they have, because I believe Ukraine's only getting a single battery of them,
It's $1 billion, by the way.
It's $1 billion battery. Yeah, do you know how much each missile is?
$4 million a shot.
$4 million a shot.
It's $1 billion for a Patriot battery.
Battery, yeah.
And then it's it's $400 million for the system and $690 million for the missiles in the battery.
Yeah. So this is the problem, is, you know, cheap Iranian drones made of parts of Alibaba and lawnmower motors. Legitimately.
Yeah.
But the thing is, as much as we like to take the piss out of that, there is a beauty in simple, cheap systems like that. There really is.
It wreaks havoc. It's inexpensive.
You can overwhelm that, and you know, there you go.
But you don't think that the Patriot missile system itself, I don't think that it's going to be going taking out any drones. I think it's going to be, on that kind of a system, it's going to be going after stuff that's going at a certain speed, certain altitude,
going for air.
It's going to have certain parameters that they're even allowed them to shoot. Kind of like when we talked about the other day, the HIMARS. They're only allowed to shoot HIMARS at certain targets with, but if it's going to have to be at a certain altitude, certain speed, certain everything, like, it's going to have to fit inside this one little bubble for them to be allowed to even send it. I mean, a $4 million shot,
that's pretty expensive. What they should be going for is not like the cruise missile itself. It's the long-range supersonic bombers dropping those. And I've been reading a lot of this, is, you know, those like Tu-22 aircraft over there, the big supersonic swept-wing bombers.
Mm.
They're the ones, a lot of the time, yes, there is naval-fired cruise missiles.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
But a lot of those bombers, and a lot of those, they've got like a cylinder in them. It's a pretty cool setup. If you have a look at the
supersonic bombers. What is it, Tu-20?
Tu-something, just get like Tu supersonic bomber. Because I won't get the number right.
224, I think.
24.
No, 160.
160?
Yeah, 160.
They've got like a big cylinder in them that drop these cruise missiles, and they've got hard points. It's incredible what these can actually carry. But they're dropping a lot of these missiles. And, well, what I believe the Patriots more might be doing is, I guess, cutting the snake off at the head, is if you take down that aircraft, you're not trying to take down the individual missiles. You're taking down the aircraft.
So there's no quick fix for anxiety and depression, and it's not finding a new therapist or starting a new exercise routine. Not anymore. Now, it's not regular meditation or a better diet. If you guys haven't figured out yet, like life, healing, and becoming a better vision of yourself in process, it doesn't stop. You don't magically just arrive at this point in your time. But sometimes you guys need something to unlock your brain, a new way of thinking about seeing the world. Like maybe that thing is guided ketamine therapy from Mind Blown. Like, in fact, Dan, a sales engineer and a real Mind Blown customer and believer, says Mind Blown has actually helped him take back and control his entire life. He feels free, and you guys can too. You guys can take control of that freedom. So Mind Blown is the leader in at-home ketamine therapy for people who are looking for a new way to treat their anxiety and depression. They have a combined science-backed medicine with a guided treatment plan that is both affordable and fast-acting. To begin, take Mind Blown's online assessment. Video consult with a licensed psychiatric clinician. If approved, you guys will actually work with Mind Blown on your specific treatment plan, and you'll be able to have something will be mailed to you as a customized kit complete with medicine, journal, and treatment materials. After only two sessions, 80% of Mind Blown clients resorted to improvements in depression, and 85% actually reported improvements in anxiety. It's time to enter your next chapter in mental health and well-being. Achieve transformational outcomes with Mind Blown. So right now, Mind Blown is offering our listeners over here on the Speak the Truth side of things $100 off your first six session programs when you guys sign up right now at mindblown.com/Rob and use promo code Rob at checkout. All you have to do is go to the top of the description, click on it. It'll take you right there. Go to mindblown.com/Rob and use promo code Rob to get $100 off your first six sessions today. Wow, I said sessions really weird there. Sessions. So that's mindblown.com/Rob. Use promo code Rob. Thank you so much to Mind Blown for sponsoring this episode. I'm thinking about these things, but are they not flying these things over Ukrainian airspace, are they?
I'm unsure. Probably not.
Because if they're not flying over Ukrainian airspace, then what you just said is pretty much obsolete.
Well, we've seen a lot of stuff fired in. Like, at the end of the day, it depends on what the Americans are going to allow them to do.
That's what I'm saying. So, I mean,
will it be able to track it easily? You know, those Patriots will have hundreds of miles of tracking capability. And it seems that in the beginning of this, we had, you know, there are to be no attacks against Russian infrastructure, like in Russia. And again now, we're seeing more and more strikes deeper and deeper into Russia. And many rumors about a lot of these strikes being done by British drones given. So it's going to be it's going to be one of those hard points.
Yeah, so the missile that actually hit inside of the apartment complex, we're going to call it, because that's pretty much what it was, was actually KH-22,
yep,
which is actually an anti-ship missile developed to actually take out like aircraft carriers and stuff like that. So it wasn't shot from, man, what was it shot from, though? That's my question.
I reckon they are shot from those. There's been more and more of that. That's why Ukraine's been trying to attack that base in the sort of, it's the western side of Russia, but like from the east of Ukraine.
It is. It's launched from a TU-22.
Is it TU-22?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
TU-22. So if that's the case, so now we're going down a rabbit hole we actually didn't even like plan to.
I'm taking us way off course.
So that's what I'm saying. So if it's launched from, God bless, now you're making me think about something. So how far will this thing fly? What's the range on this thing? The range is
a TU. Once it's shot.
We get
a lot more range with them, of course, than ground-based launches. Because most of your energy expelled in your bloody missile is getting it up and sideways. Yeah. If you're already at cruise altitude, drop it at the bottom, it's just, you know, it's momentum of the plane. It's just going with the conservation of momentum. It's already going 1,000, 2,000 kilometers an hour, and it can just go from there.
It can fly at 89,000 speed. Or excuse me, 89,000 feet. Mm. And flies at terminal at Mach 4.6.
Yep.
That is nuts.
Yeah, we all like to harp on about, you know, the stuff in the Russian army and how a lot of it sucks and this and that and whatever. But a lot of these like Soviet era design stuff is nuts. You look at it and you're like those TU-22s. They're massive aircraft. They're the biggest supersonic bomber. It makes a B-1 look small.
I got the range. 370 miles.
370 miles.
370 yeah. miles.
So if those are... Well, can you look up what the closest point of Dnipro...
Sure, I can do that for you as well. Let's do this.
No,
let's,
because if it's within that range, 320 miles. We know that aircraft is somewhere in the airspace.
Let me give me one second. I got a handy-dandy tool.
While he's doing that, there's another talking point that's come up from actually the British intelligence that a lot of people, including myself, have been, I guess, questioning why we haven't seen the Su-57 Felon aircraft used in Ukraine, which is like the Russian equivalent of a F-22, F-35 sort of stealth fifth-gen fighter. And I say equivalent, don't jump on me about that. We don't really know how good it is. We know it's not going to be as good as the Western counterparts, but it's probably a Gen 4.5, Gen 5 aircraft. We're not sure. But the British intelligence has said that it is more than likely it has been used and is being used in Ukraine. And I guess if it is, and they're saying that, well, it's giving some credibility to the platform. Because if we don't have like solid evidence or photos of it being used, well, that's the whole point of a stealth aircraft. So that's something that a lot of people like me were like, why aren't they using, you know, their most advanced fighter jet? Well, according to British intelligence, they actually are.
This is okay. I learned a lot just in the last 2 seconds.
Oh yeah. Once you start researching these, man, you'll go down. I did a video on all these a while back, it's crazy. Yeah.
So pretty much, it doesn't really matter. So what you said at the very beginning is pretty much obsolete. So the Patriot going over to try to shoot down a bomber, it's not going to happen.
Going to be in Russian airspace?
It's always going to be in Russian airspace. It doesn't really matter. Because you're looking at 180 miles, 220 miles, 200 miles. Like pretty much does not matter. That they're probably shooting it. It could be down near Mariupol.
70,000 feet.
That's what I'm saying. Down in Mariupol, they literally can fly all the way around this whole border, not even be in Ukrainian airspace. We'll call it, like, even though it's Russian held area.
Yeah.
It still would
be. It's Ukrainian airspace.
It's Ukrainian airspace.
It's fine to use that. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I guess you would say that, but this is stuff that they've held since 2014.
Mm.
So even in there, we're talking about even if they're not in there and they're in the normal Russian land back behind their border, it's still 180 miles.
Yeah.
So they can just throw it out there. But this thing, this KH-22 has been used multiple times. I didn't even know this. Look at how many times it's been used just in this war right now.
Oh, yeah. They're used massively.
I've been talking about this and not even realizing this is the same one that they've been using because they have a KH-22 and a KH-32.
Yes.
But they actually know exactly which bomber regiment actually shot this one.
Yep.
Just the other day. It was the 52nd Heavy Brigade. They don't know where
it's like Ingalls Airfield.
I don't know where it came out. I really don't know where that is, but apparently it's the same one that was used inside of Kirby Raw. I remember when they hit the dam back in September. It's the same thing they did that. Same people that did it. So I guess that's the other question. What if they just say, you know what? That they keep hitting What if the Americans, I say, you know what? If it's shot from the air, I don't care if it's coming from Russian airspace or Russian ground.
Well, that's where I'm going. Like, maybe, because we've seen to loosen up on these laws more and more and more.
But if they do that, now we can go down another rabbit hole that will just go absolutely insane. I could do an entire episode on what would even happen right then. Well, the amount of triggers that would go off on the Russian side of things would be literally not just mind-blowing, but like mind-melting.
Yeah. Well, like they have taken out some of those aircraft, but only on the ground with Iranian drones. But
that's
like,
fine.
You know, but the thing is, people are scared of an escalation.
I'm not scared. I think it needs to be escalated.
Yeah.
And get it over with.
Well, my question is, though, and this is something, you know, that I guess people can talk about in the comments, is America is saying we don't want to strike Russian targets with our weapons in Russia, whatever, because of escalation.
That's politics. That is all that is.
No, that's politics. But where I was going with it was, well, how much more escalation does Russia have?
Nukes. That's it.
Okay.
If you take that out,
yeah. But we've discussed that the potential of that is.
It's not really.
Well, it's not worth thinking about, because even if there is potential, it's not worth thinking about, because it's just gonna. It will all just see. It'll be looking at this light for a second.
Done. I get it.
So let's forget that.
They don't have anything.
But what other escalation can they have?
Normal, like military stuff, conventional warfare. Nothing.
So I guess the politics of this, that's the problem.
If I were to say anything, it's because America knows if they just keep going the way they're going to do, which we know it's going to maintain just like this, they're literally going to drain every resource the Russians really have for conventional warfare.
It's difficult, yeah.
That's all they're trying. If that's what they're really trying to use, they're using, if you go with that mindset, then they're utilizing Ukrainian forces and Ukrainian men and women to drain the Russians' resources through a proxy war, which is something I want to talk about with you in a different episode. Proxy war all day, because America's really, that's all they do.
Well, this is what I see with these vehicles. And this is what annoys me at this war with just bloodshed, is I think the West is giving Ukraine enough vehicles to
maintain
the front lines and defend bits, but we're not giving them enough to win,
which they should. We have so much stuff.
We want them to take Crimea, we want them to take Donetsk. If that's what our government's saying we want, you're not doing that with 40 Bradleys and 12 Challengers.
It's comical when you say it like
and,
that.
And this is, you know, if you look at it, I don't want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but if you look at it in these logical terms of like, you're using this to maintain what you do, and this is where America, I know a lot of Americans, and I see it online, are very, you know, critical of the $66 billion that America has spent. People have to believe America has got, if their real goal is to drain Russian resources and drain, you know, Russia military sort of budgets down and infrastructure, they've got an incredibly good deal.
It's cheap.
That is cheap.
It's compared to our military, but it's like 3% or something.
Yeah, it's tiny. America's much budget, like $600-700 billion.
No, the amount of money that we've spent in comparison to what we're getting out of the deal.
Yeah, but the money spent has already been spent too. So a lot of people are adding up, Bradley's $3 million. Yeah, they were new. We used them for 30 years.
Yeah,
and and that's some of it. But at the end of the day, I know we'll talk about this in that episode. But at the end of the day, there's a figure that America was spending in Iraq. But I reckon it was like $200-300 billion a week. It was ridiculous in like the initial weeks of that war. The biggest adversary to America, you know, I would argue China, but let's say before this war we thought it was Russia. That's our biggest adversary. For $70 billion and to drain, let's say, 40-50% of their forces, and that includes weapons, artillery, rockets, whatever, that's an incredibly good deal for America to take an adversary. Of course, the thing that upsets me about this was the people that have worn the brunt of this and shed the blood for this were the Ukrainian people. I don't want anyone. I don't want anyone to die. But for America and the West to drain a large adversary in Europe, you know, the people that did that fighting and, you know, I should say also take credit for it, but, you know, were the Ukrainians. And there is a massive element of that.
5.6%.
5.6%.
So we spent 5.6% of our budget, just our one-year budget. And we're talking about stuff that has already been bought.
But you already own, yeah. So it's 5.6%. But imagine that. What do you reckon the oldest system is that we've seen? What's a Bradley, 30 years old?
Yeah, it's been around since.
Hang on. So yeah, early 90s. Let's say 6% of the budget this year, just for maths. But that budget spread over a 30-year period because those Bradleys were built 25, 30 years ago. So realistically, you're spending like 0.5 or a lot less, like 0.3% of your budget year on year.
That's what I'm talking about. So they're literally taking out the Russians' military through Ukrainian with less. It's huge. With no American lives.
In my opinion, they don't want this war to end overnight. You don't think America could pump in 1,000 Abrams tanks, 2,000 Bradleys, and rehold the border? That can happen. They have the ability. America has the ability to do that. Russian soldiers have the want to do that. But that's not the. It's not going to be the most. Well, it might be the fastest way, but it's not going to be the way to drain the most Russian resources. And for the West,
America's thinking
Europe,
about longevity here.
Yeah,
I really
They are
longevity.
They are. But the thing that annoys me is that longevity is given at someone living in Ukraine.
No, I understand.
Life.
But the thing is, you also got to realize that some people, if you look at it like that, the Ukrainians wouldn't even have the opportunity to fight against the Russians right now with anything if the Americans weren't supplying anything. So it's almost like a give and take.
Very, very true. Although the 1993 security agreements and pacts between Belarus, Russia, and America and the UK, that states that America should be on the ground defending them. Those same aircraft, those Tu-22 aircraft we looked at, Ukraine had all those bombers. That in the Soviet Union, that's where those, because they're nuclear capable aircraft. It's like our bombers. Mm. Our bombers are built to drop nukes, and we can drop other weapons with them. That that's the first line of duty, though. Ukraine had those bombers. Ukraine had nukes, both ground and air-based nuclear weapons. That's what Ukraine had. Soviet Union collapsed, and we all saw that just went to a shit show. So we had Ukraine, small country in Europe, came out as that, and we went in. Look, we will guarantee you security if you give up your nuclear weapons and give up your long-range strategic bombers. Those aircraft were given up. So the aircraft that are that are launching those missiles on Ukraine now were Ukrainian Tu-22s. But in that agreement, it was, if the West ever come to Ukraine, Russia, Belarus will 100% defend you. And if the East ever come to Ukraine, the UK and America will. And, the Clintons had a lot to do with those deals. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but there's a lot of these deals. And, the biggest thing with this deal, and people are going to love or hate me for this, the biggest thing with this deal was signed by the Democrats, who then the same Democrats who are in power have been the ones not to now uphold the deal. And that's, I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, I'm Australian, I don't give a shit. But, at the end of the day, it's the same political party who has not held up the same deal you pushed through. And, you have not, Russia's definitely not held up their end of the deal. They'd say they're defending Ukraine's freedom, but America and UK also haven't. Yeah, it's blood weapons, yeah, we've done whatever. But these treaties in place, and I think it's a dangerous line that we're towing, because these security agreements, the UK, America, these big powers, man, they have security agreements with heaps of countries. They have security agreements with Australia and all around the world. Is it a bit of the boy who cried wolf of, hang on, well, you didn't back them up? Do you really think another country, Australia might be a different case, but, in the new coming environment of the world, and if we give, we'll give you security agreements for your oil, people might just go, look at your history. I don't want that shit. It's a hard case, but America's playing a long game.
Long game. 100% a long game. Yeah. I appreciate you coming on and actually doing this with me.
I got in a rabbit hole. I apologize to all you at home.
We flew all the way around the world for this. We did go down a bit of a rabbit. Did you have anything else you want to touch on? Because I don't even remember at this point. You had notes?
I had notes. I've got everything.
But you really just stumbled away from any type of notes whatsoever.
We stumbled across notes. I think it might be interesting for people to know about these long-range bombers and some of the politics behind this.
Okay, well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We will see you guys hopefully tomorrow with another one. Willie might be here. He might not. You guys let me know in the comments if you want to keep him around. A lot of you guys like him. A lot of people hate him, which is fine. I like it. All right, I'm out of here, guys. Thank you so much. I'm out.